Something on my mind, and Jamie, you etched it in my mind, and it stayed with me all night. It's your fault. So, Jamie made a comment last night that just stuck with me. I told y'all, told yesterday, last night, that I felt so inadequate and unable, and then I had a moment last night that just stayed with me. And I thought about it a lot, what he said. We didn't stay up late last night. And when I laid down, that's all I could think about is a comment that you made. And, you know, and it was just an off-the-cuff comment, but it's amazing how the Lord can put something upon you in an off-the-cuff comment that just stays with you, that you realize, hey, this man's talking Bible here. You know, it's wonderful that even in your conversation that you throw in something that is biblically correct. And it just stayed with me all night. And I thought about it a lot and thought about it. He said something about friends. That was the comment that stayed with me. And, you know, we all have a lot of friends. And we all have a lot of people that we call our friends, and we have the friends that we can call upon in our time of need. And we have friends that we meet in our travels over the highways and byways, you know, and we call them friends. But we have a friend that is so great and so wonderful that will stay with you. There's not many true friends on this side of the grave that living that will stay with you through everything. But we have a friend who will stay with you in your highs, in your lows, in your time of need, in your time of plenty, in your time, you know, he'll just stay with you, a true friend. And that kind of thought me, and it led me to a scripture that just kind of hung around, and I'm going to read from you, if you don't mind, Luke, the 15th chapter. I'm going to go down to the 11th verse. This is the part that got me started thinking about the friend. And you'll kind of wonder how this is going to tie together. I hope if the Lord's with me, that I'll tie it together. It said, a certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me my portion of goods that fall on me. And he divided unto them his living. I've read this passage over and over again, and finally, them stuck in my mind. Them. Both of these sons got their inheritance. You know, both of them. One, the younger, asked for it, and the older also got it. And I've heard it preached, and I've preached it myself, but I never connected with them that both of them got the inheritance. And not many days after, the younger son gathered together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance for righteous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. That's where it got me thinking about friends. Want. How many times in your life do you want? That you really want. That you actually pray for what you want. You know, not thinking about what you need, but you're praying for what you want. You know, the Bible tells us to pray continuously, to pray always, but it also says, you know, we pray in error, in a miss. You know, if you're praying in a want, you know, you're praying in a miss. God has provided you with all your needs. It's yours. Just like the inheritance. It's yours. It's there. But we pray for wants. We pray for things that we want. You know, we want everything to be this way. We want everything to be that way. And I guess for the last 2 or 3 weeks or for the last month, I've been preaching to different congregations, different churches, about self. You know, that's where we get caught up in, is self. That we have gotten so involved in self that we forget that we're servants of the Almighty God. You know, and you know, it's not just the preacher that's the servant. We're all servants to the Almighty God. How wonderful it is when you start realizing that the wants that you have is so much different than the needs that you have. You know, God has given you everything you need. You know, you're without want. Truly you are. When you find out that you're falling under the mighty hand of the Almighty God, you are fulfilled in every aspect of your life. You are so fulfilled that the joy that comes from knowing that this is the Almighty God, that I am fulfilled in Him and in Him alone, then your want list becomes much, much smaller. Because then you realize you are blessed of God. You've been blessed to have help, if you have good help. And if you don't have good help, you're still blessed of God. Because God has chosen you and called you out of a waste highland wilderness for a specific purpose. And that's something that I've thought about a lot. And I wonder sometimes, what is my purpose, you know? Because my purpose, my want side of me, I don't want to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. I don't want to be a pastor of a church. I want to be on the back row in the back pew and just sit there and listen to the Word of God. That's what I want to do, you know. And most of us will fall in that category in the want that we don't want to put out the effort. And God is calling you and moving you, and we don't want to rely on Him. He says, I have given you everything you need. I have called you. I have brought you out. I have given you. But we let our wants get in the way of what God has given us, and we forget about the need of God. You know, God has called you to a specific purpose. God has called you out to do things, you know, and you're not to sit on the log. I remember, and I read this last night to Jamie, when we were, Adam was kicked out of the garden, he said, you will work. You will work. So God does not intend for you to sit by on the sideline. God does not intend for you just to sit there like a lump on the log. He said, you will work. That's a curse that was put upon us out of the Garden of Eden. And we forget that sometimes because most of us, and I am at the retirement age, matter of fact, I am drawing Social Security. I am of that age, but I'm still working. And it seems that in my life, I've always thought, when I first started thinking about retirement, I thought age 55. When I get 55, I'm done. I'm not going to do anymore. I'm now 68 years old, and I'm working just as hard at 68 years old as I did at 55. And really and truly, it's a pleasure to be able to work and do the thing that I feel the Lord has instructed me to do. You know, and I'm not talking about a big house and a big car. I'm talking about the fulfillment that I have by being productive. So in our life, in our travels, in our movement, you know, God has called you out for a purpose. But I'm telling you right now, it's not to sit on the sidelines. You're to get up and move forward. There's no place in this Bible where when God told the children to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, when they saw it, they had to move to receive it. And I'll give you an example. Moses, when he stood there and opened the Red Sea, he said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. But when he opened up that water, he told them to move across that ocean. You know, a lot of times in life, we've gotten to a point in life that we want to just sit back and say, if the Lord wants me to have it, He'll give it to me, you know. I've heard that over and over again. And I've heard people say, if the Lord wants me to do this, He'll give me a sign. If the Lord wants me, you know, I'm telling you right now, the Lord wants you to be productive in your life and moving forward and upward to a higher calling at all times. He said, come boldly through the throne of grace. That means that you're going to walk up there, you're going to boldly come through this rough, and you're not going to sit on the sidelines. This man right here, this young man who had received his inheritance and he just squandered it away on what he's got. You know, there's a lot of times that we squander away our relationship with a church. You know, because we take it all for granted. Well, granddaddy went there, grandma went there, or the church will always be there. Well, I'm telling you right now, if there's not workers in the vineyard, the church will not stay there. It will move on. If you're not going to take care of what the Lord has given you, a need that you have, and you don't take care of it, it will move on. And a lot of people just take it for granted. Well, old Happy Creek Church has been here since 1800, and it's going to be here for another 2,000 years. It's not going to be here if you don't work in it. I'll tell you right now. The Lord has played something, but it's our duty and our responsibility to take care of it and do the thing that we need to do, because He has instructed you and He's brought you out to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. This young man, he was so intent on having everything now. You know, the Lord is so patient with us, but we're not patient with Him. We are an instantaneous people now. We want everything quick, now, fast, easy, and I don't want to work for it. You know, this whole country today is in a system of I don't want to work for it. The government's going to give it to me, you know. But I'm telling you right now, our forefathers worked for this country. Our forefathers stood up and stood their ground and worked for our country. And if we're not willing to stand up for what we believe, because I'm telling you right now, our enemy is pushing us left and right, pushing the country from one side to the other, and he's busy at doing, you know, he doesn't rest at all. I've never seen a time that Satan takes time to rest. I can tell you right now, he works on me continuously, and I have to beg upon God daily to keep my mind in the right direction, because my enemy is throwing in my wants. You know, you want this, you want that. You can be, you know, I'm going to tell you right now, I'll tell you how he works. He'll tell you, you want to be the big preacher. You know, you want to be the big man. You know, you want to be, you need to do this. You know, that's not what God is saying. He says, I have given you everything you need. He has given us salvation. He's given us the knowledge. He's given us the understanding. But we're so caught up in want, you know. And the pride that we have. You know, the Lord sure hates a prideful man, you know. You know, I'm so amazed at people sometimes, you know, they just so caught up. He said, this young man who had caught up into the world because he had an enemy that drawn him out from the family. There's four characters here, the father, two sons, and there's one more character, but there's one character here that's real subtle, that just kind of stays in the background, that just kind of puts in those little thoughts and puts in those little things in your mind, you know, or as I say, he puts a little doubt in you. You know, you got to have a little doubt in you sometimes. You know, sometimes I wonder, you know, sometimes I think, you know, sometimes I, you know, you know, sometimes I just get to the point and I say, where does all this doubt come from? I have a little enemy over here that's over there telling me that, you know, it's not quite that way. It's not quite. And you know, my enemy that I have also, he can quote scripture with the best of them. You know, and I'll tell you something else about my enemy. My enemy is not afraid to stand in the presence of God. My enemy. And I'm afraid. You know, that's my enemy that I have. He's not afraid to stand in the presence of God. He's not afraid to walk around. He's not afraid, you know. But we're so timid and caught up in our wants, you know, that we let him needle into our life, needle into us, and promise us stuff that is nothing but a bald-faced lie. But yet we want to believe it because we want something. This young man right here was called out. You know, old Satan has, you know, he's brought him out from under the father's care. You know, this man was a wealthy man. He had a right good much, and he divided it between both sons. You know, he didn't leave for greed, or he didn't leave for the lack of wealth.
He left for that. He was looking for power. He wanted to be in control of his own life. You know, how many of you want to be in control of your own life? You think, I got this. I know what I'm doing. You know, I'm an expert at what I'm doing. And forget all about God. Because you feel that you got it under control. That you can handle the situation. And you've forgotten about God. This young man right here, he had come out from under the Father's care. And you can draw a latitude any way you want to draw it. You can make it look any way you want to make it. You can say that I joined the church and I was in the church, you know, and I was in the love and care, and things weren't going the way I thought it should go. Or old sister over there offended me, or old brother over there offended me. So I'm going to do, you know, what all good people do in the old Baptist church. I'm going to get mad and quit. You know, I'll just show you. I'll just quit. You know, that's the way we are. You know, we walk out. Well, I'm telling you right now, one son stayed with the father. He stayed right there with the father. The other son left because he wanted the world. He wanted everything. He wanted the wealth, the fame, and everything. And you know what happened to him? Well, hard times come. That's usually what happens, you know, when you leave God's grace. And what's amazing about it is God doesn't take His grace from it. You walk away from His grace. You know, you turn your back on God. You know, people say, I don't do that. Yes, you do. I do it. I'm guilty. I confess to it, you know, because I sometimes let my wants get in the way that it just drives me away from the grace of God. You know, and then when it all falls apart, when the famine comes and everything falls apart, and you wonder, well, what have I done here? You know, why am I in this situation? Because you've walked away from what the only thing that will give you food, strength, courage, and nourishment. But yet, I thought that I had it under control. I thought that I knew what I was doing. I thought, nowhere along the line did I ever consult with God on anything, because I got this. You know, I got this, you know. Man, I went to college. I got a 4-year education in engineering. I can design this, and I can do this, and I can do that. Where do you think the ability come for you to even retain that? Or hold on to that? I'm not good at English or spelling. I can't spell a house cat. You know, I've always been that way. But I'm telling you right now, you put the numbers up there and I'll work it out for you. I've got that type of mind. That's a gift of God, an engineering mind that I have. You have a mind to do things that God has blessed you with. You know, spell it ain't my thing. My wife gets so tickled sometimes when I spell something, she'll look at me and say, did you? I said, well, I run it through spell check. You know, I said, Lord, thank the Lord for spell check. I'm telling you right now, people actually think now that I can write because of spell check, you know. It'll take care of that. Well, that's not my ability, you know. I don't really care about spell check. What I want to do is design something and move something. You know, that's what I want, you know. I certainly didn't want to come into a church and stand before God's people and try to preach His Word. I didn't want to do that. If these brothers right here said they wanted to do that, they're fooling themselves too. Because the worst thing you'll ever do is when you walk in and you're drawn out from a waste, howling wilderness, and you realize that there's something else to life more than a number 2 divided by this times this. Life is so much more complex than what you think it is. You know, but it's so simple if you'll fall into what God has laid before you. He has given you a God-given ability to do certain things. Each man's gift is different. Each man's gift is different from another man. All our gifts are not the same. These preach brothers that stand here today, their gift, each one, if all our gifts was the same, we'd get tired of them. I'm telling you, that's how we are. If we all stood here and did the same monotone speech and the same sermon, we'd all get tired of it. That's how we are. But God has blessed us with gifts of preaching and calling different men with a different ability to show you something differently. And what's amazing to me, each one of them will show you something differently out of the same book. The same book. You know, I've been in this church before and sat over there with Brother Ralph and said, and the old brother stood up here preaching the Word of God, and he'd say something and it's just like, duh! Why didn't I get that? I've read that all my life, you know. This is where your education begins, in the Word of God. You know, this is where we have an education. This young man who was called out and he left God, he left his father, and he went out into the world, and then when everything falls apart, then he turned back to God. Let's look and see what he said. And when he had joined himself to the citizen of the country, and this is where I thought about the friend, Jamie. He said, there ain't no telling how many friends, when times get hard, that you don't join yourself to. Looking for some sort of relief. You know, me and Brother Steele, you know, we want to join ourselves together and we want to be in misery together. You know, I want him to help me and he wants me to help him. You know, how many people in your life, those friends, so-called friends that you talk about, when you join yourself, when you had wealth, fame, and money, they were your friends. But let hard times come and fall on it. Where are those friends then? You know, the old saying that Mama used to say, and I remember her just as plain as day. She said, if you lie down with the dogs, you get the fleas. You know, that's the way most friends are. You know, if you lie down with the dogs, you'll get the fleas from, you know, that's the way friends are. You know, our only true friend, you know, really and truly, the only true friend we have is Jesus Christ. That's our true friend. That's the one that will stay with you even when you got the fleas. Even when you're down and out. Even when you're under, you know, he will stay with you. And not only that, when the time to be carried, he will carry you through. This is the friend I'm talking about. This young lad joined himself with the sin because he was in trouble. You know, I see people all the time in trouble. You know, and man, nothing makes me madder than somebody say, I watched Oprah Winfrey and she said I need to do this. Well, that's just wonderful, isn't it? So get something from a TV that I call the Lion Box. You know, I've got to the point now that I don't even know what's real on TV. It ain't the news. It's all just a fake. And they're talking, you know, our president talking about fake news. Well, turn the TV on. It's all fake there. You know, I remember one time our daughter, when she was young, you know, she loved watching horror movies, you know. And my wife would just get tore up in a horror movie. And the little 10-year-old girl, they'd just sit there watching it, you know. And my wife would be all two pieces about what's going to happen next. And she looked at Jennifer and said, Jennifer, she said, this doesn't bother you? And Jennifer looked right back at her and said, there ain't nothing but a TV. There ain't nothing to it. There ain't no, you know, to have somebody 10 years old to recognize that it ain't nothing but a TV, but yet we'll spend half of our life sitting down in front of it, thinking we're going to get something out of it. When we could just take 20 minutes a day, and I'll tell you 20 minutes a day, and get right here in this, and you can get so much fulfillment out of that, it will last you maybe a whole day and a half, you know. Because that's, you know, we're looking at the wrong things, you know. This young man, he joined himself to the citizen. He went out in the world. He said, man, I'm down and out. I need a job. I need to do something. He said, and that's the way your friends are, you know, they got you on the ropes. So instead of helping you, they're going to use you. You know, that's the worst place you can be. When you're down and out and need help, and then the man says, well, I'm going to use you. I'm going to use you. He said, he joined them to the citizens of the country, and he sent him to the field to feed the swine. You know, I'm going to help you right out. Go on down to the hog pen. You're on your way anyway. Go on down there, you know. You've turned your back on your family. You turn your back on God. You turn your go on down to the hog pen and get on down there. You know, they have a saying in the addiction program: you're not going to come up till you get to the very bottom, till you hit your bottom. This young man right here has not hit the bottom yet. You know, he's still relying on a friend, going to give him a job to feed the hogs. You know, I'll do anything. You know, how desperate will you get? How desperate can things get? And you tell a friend, I'll do anything. I'll do whatever it takes. You're not talking to the Father in heaven. You're talking to a friend. You see, somebody that's using you. I'm desperate. I'll do anything. You know, help me out here. Okay, go feed the hogs. Man, don't you know Satan was just as tickled as he could be? He's on the path and I got him now. Boy, I tell you, he's just going right on down. He's just going right on down. He said, and when he was faint from having filled his belly, the husk of the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. You know, he's about to hit the bottom. He's about there. I thought about this a lot, you know. Old Satan was, I almost got him.
I almost got him now. He's almost at the bottom. I almost got him. And then he said, underline this in your Bible. Keep it. And when he came to himself, when he realized who he was, he said, I'm my Father's son. This is who I am. I'm not who I thought I was. I'm not. You know? He changed his mind. He changed his outlook. Everything changed when he came to himself. You know, I wonder sometimes why we have to go to that low. Because our Father wants us to get down on our knees, to humble ourselves, to get down to that point, and you realize the only help I got, the only thing that I got, the only way I can go is through my Lord and Savior. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. And you know what? Jesus didn't tell him, it's your fault. Jesus didn't tell him, you deserve it. Jesus didn't tell him anything. Jesus came to him and he said, how many hired servants of my father have bread enough to eat? You know, it's amazing what happens in your life when you put your priorities where they should be. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. It's amazing the difference in your life. You know, it's amazing what happened in my life when I got to that point that I was so low that I knew there had to be something better. You know? And I was down and out. I said, why? Why? Because I put my wants ahead of my needs. I put my wants up here on a pedestal. I'm going to work my entire life for this. This is what I want. At 55, I'm going to retire. And man, I'm telling you, you know, the bad part about that is most of us wait till we're 50 to start saving. And we spend all our life throwing our money away on our wants. You know, this young man said, my father's house is bread enough to eat, and I perish here with hunger.
Hunger.
You know, what we have here is I hope and pray that every one of y'all, when y'all got out of bed this morning, came with a hunger for the Word of God, that He will feed us and nourish us and give us the understanding and the mind that we can look to Him. Our enemy is going to work double overtime, triple overtime to keep you. And Jesus says, I will arise and go to my Father's house, and I will say unto the Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. You know, this man was repenting now. You know, I have sinned. You know, what so? And I am no more worthy to be called thy son. You know, that's a big one right there. That's a big one right there. I know that when I saw something, that I felt something, and I was too ignorant to understand what it was, I didn't have the knowledge to understand, I didn't have the revelation to understand what it was, I would think to myself, I am not worthy to be called thy son. I have lived the righteous life. I have done all this. I have wasted, you know, my life on what my wants were. I have spent all my time about want, I want, and never given a thought to the need that I need. And the Father in heaven, when He calls you, and you're in your low, and you know who your true friend is, how He can pick you up and hold your head up. Most beautiful verse that I read in the Bible, and I try to read it every day of my life, back when God says, I will be your God, and you will be my servant. And I remember your sins no more. You know, I still have a hard time with that. I remember your sins no more because I carry them with me. But I do realize and understand, my Father in heaven says, I remember your sins no more. And our Lord and Savior went to the cross and paid a debt. You know, what more of a friend can we have than Jesus Christ when he goes to the cross and dies on Calvary's cross and pays a debt that you and I, that we could spend the rest of our life on our knees bowing and praying, and we can't even make a dent in it. How wonderful it is when you start realizing what took place on Calvary's cross. How, what a friend you have in Jesus Christ. Who? He doesn't care who you are. He doesn't care how many fleas you got. He don't care what ravine you're in. He doesn't care what miry clay you're in. He doesn't care. He doesn't care. You know what's amazing about that? He don't give a rip about anything about what he said is, you're one of mine. Father give to. That's what's important in life. And you start realizing, you know, well, maybe I got a chance because I want to hang on to that hope which he was given to me, and my belief which was given to me, and my faith that was given to me. So I kind of rationalize myself because I'm an engineer and I rationalize a lot of things. I say, well, if he's given me hope, faith, and belief, there might be a chance that I might be a son Amen. Of the living God. And I'm going to hang on to that. Thank you for your kind attention. Well,